In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. Not what you often hear, is it? Not from the slick salesmen of Christianity who tell you salvation is but a prayer away. Not from the pastors who would rather be cheerleaders, ranting about how victorious you are when the scoreboard says you're losing bad. How difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. These are Jesus' words. Difficult? No, impossible. It is easier for a camel, legs, head, humps and all, to slide through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Don't think you're a rich person? When's the last time you went to bed but couldn't sleep because of the gnawing hunger in your stomach? When's the last time you went to work a 16-hour shift in a rat-infested sweatshop to bring home fractions of a penny? When's the last time you walked miles for clean water only to find contaminated mud? When much of the world wonders if it will have enough grain and water to survive one more day, you whine about the rising cost of cable TV and worry about how early you can retire. Oh, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier to conceive of how a camel might actually stuff itself through the eye of a needle than it is to conceive of you walking through heaven's holy gates. Have a reality check, courtesy of Jesus. And repent. Rich, poor, lifelong Christian, recent convert, it doesn't matter. What Jesus says, he says to us all, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. Just how difficult? Think camels through needles. Amazed were Jesus' disciples, stunned by his words. Exceedingly astonished, Mark says, rocked to their very cores. And so it will be on that day when God gets out of the dock and ascends to his judgment seat. For no creature is hidden from his sight, the scriptures say, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Yes, you will give an account. So consider the prayer of our forefathers and make it your own. Woe is me, a sinner, should the day of judgment come, when the records of conscience shall be opened, and all men shall say of me, behold this man and all his works. Lord God, what shall I do in that hour when heaven shall reveal all my sins, and the very death itself shall rise up against me? There's no fire and brimstone needed, no divine wrath or terrible plagues. Worse than the plagues of Egypt, worse than the fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, worse than anything we might imagine of hell, is the truth. If heaven were to simply reveal the truth about you, what you've thought and what you've done, there would be no one who could stand. Every last one of us in this room would be on our faces, weeping in shame. When the disciples asked Jesus, who then can be saved? It's not time for us to glory in our theological knowledge, in our ability to distinguish law and gospel, in the great spiritual acumen that allows us to float over this and every other word of God. It is time for us to take the disciples' question into our own mouths and stammer it with them. Who then can be saved? And to wait for Jesus' answer as if all our souls depend upon it, because they do. With man, it is impossible, Jesus says. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. What is Jesus saying? How difficult, no, how impossible it is for you to save yourself. So impossible that I must do it for you, that I take your salvation into my own hands. What is Jesus saying? That with God, that camel can go through the eye of the needle, for all things are possible. With God, a rich man can enter the kingdom. With God, even you will stand before the judgment seat on that great day and hear the most incredible, impossible verdict there is. Innocent. You are innocent. For I have laid all your iniquity on my Son, and by his stripes you are healed. Be amazed. Be exceedingly astonished. For this is he who makes the first last and the last first. Prostitutes, tax collectors, you and me will find heaven's gates swung wide open. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not by the works of the law, not by the things that you've done. Not only saved, but welcomed. Welcomed by the God who has already rolled out the red carpet for you. The red carpet that leads into the gates of heaven, red with your Savior Jesus' blood. You may not yet know it, but you are rich and famous. Famous? Yes. For there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 who need no repentance. Saints laugh and angels sing over your confession of sins. For your confession is nothing else but a miracle of grace, a miraculous work that God has done in you. Rich? Yes, you're rich too. Not with those things that moths and rust destroy, but rich indeed in a far greater way. How is this? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you might, through his poverty, become rich. On the cross, in his poverty, he was stripped naked so that you might be lavishly clothed in his righteousness. On the cross, he is impoverished and made to thirst so that you might eat the finest of breads and the richest of wines, the bread of immortality, full forgiveness, fermented into the wine that is his blood. Yes, you are rich. Rich in grace and rich with gifts that will never perish. Rich and famous, well known in heaven, not merely as guests of the King, you are children of the King. God's kids, come home. So blessed are you if you are lonely now. If you have no real home, if you just don't fit, Blessed are you, for there is a true homecoming right around the corner. A heavenly family of brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers you never knew you had. There is a family to which you belong, where everyone gets you, and more, where everyone agrees. Thank Jesus. Yes, thank Him. For in the poverty of His cross, He has made you rich beyond your wildest dreams. Ultimately, what's coming is nothing less than your new resurrected body and the new heavens and the new earth, yours forever. So don't think that Peter has it wrong when he says to Jesus, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus answers him not with a rebuke, but with the word, "Amen." Because Peter gets it, that he and the other disciples follow Jesus is nothing less than a miracle of God. That you are here this morning is nothing less than a miracle of God. More miraculous than a camel going through the eye of a needle is this congregation of sinners gathered here around the Lamb to receive for free all the riches He has won for us on the cross. Peter simply points out the miracle that God has worked in himself and in the other disciples. Flesh and blood have not revealed Christ to them. The Father has. So Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. If you have eyes to see that what Jesus promises now in this time is fulfilled in the pews next to you, in the faithful pastors and churches scattered around our country and around the world, here are your houses, houses of worship. Here are your brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, one family with one heavenly Father. You walk into a church and you hear the gospel of Christ preached. That is a miracle of God of the highest order. You find someone who boasts in nothing but Christ and Him crucified. That is a miracle. You hear the gospel preached from this pulpit, from these sinful and unclean lips. It is a miracle. All of it greater than if a camel were to go through the eye of a needle. For Christ has gone through the eye of death and come through the other side. And it is He who now lives and walks in our very midst. You are not your own. You have been purchased at a price. So put away all foolishness, all entangling sins, and most of all worry. You are not your own. Christ Himself has purchased you, made Himself poor, that you might be rich. You are not your own. Body and soul, you are His. So put away those sins of your body, lust and adultery. Let them not even be named among you, for Christ has redeemed your body. It is His. You have been bought with the currency of His holy blood. Each drop that fell from His cross, like a coin of infinite worth. And when these coins in the coffer ring, all of heaven sings, for your sins have been paid in full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.